We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
You're mean, Mercedes. You're mean, growing up in the Dominican Republic, who were your favorite baseball players?
Robinson Cano. I never imagined that Robbie is my cousin. You know that?
Robbie Cano, but don't you know?
He's your cousin?
Oh, yeah, we're cousins.
Wow. Tanny, what'd you think of your guy, the Yerminator? I love him.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that little nugget there about him and Robbie Cano, don't you know? Hey, did you guys know that they were cousins? Did you guys know that?
No.
We did not know that.
I love that part.
You know that?
What's up, Tanny?
We have a development on the south side.
Batting fifth, the designated hitter, number 73, Yermín Mercedes.
2-1 to Mercedes. And Yermín tattoos this ball. Oh, where is it going to land?
Yeah. This is brilliant.
Desapareciendo del parque, sayonara, baby. Wow.
Welcome to Chicago, 73.
Oh my God. That's not a star witness. He is broken in half.
Wow.
You're mean Mercedes.
Friend of the show.
It's going to your first date. And it's Brad Keller, baby.
Friend of the show.
Yermín had the phone from you guys' interview, gave it to Billy Russo, and then hit a home run. That's how I saw it happening anyway.
A home opener, complete game shutout, twirled by Lance Lynn.
Is it for the rest of the season?
Is what is?
The big league boys.
The what?
The big league boys.
Big league boys? What, baseball? What about it?
Is it going to be carried through?
Just never know. It has to play out.
That's the name of the game. If I said right. So myself, hope to see a few of those home run balls launch into orbit.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Yermín Mercedes, one of the stories of baseball. It was amazing to talk to him yesterday. If you missed it, check it out on the podcast page, 670thescore.com. I think it's a little too late for the radio.com rewind app, but it's available. Go out and find it. It was a lovely conversation he's a big kid, man. He's a big kid living out his dream at 28 years old. It's very, very cool to see, and I hope he keeps it up. So both the Cubs and the Sox, Spiegs, are off tonight. And we were on after the Cubs game yesterday, and so we talked a little bit about Craig Kimbrel. But, you know, the level at which he's pitching so far is the vintage stuff, right? Like, this is the version of Craig Kimbrel that made the signing feel so special when they initially got him. He's an all-timer. He's a borderline Hall of Famer. He's this all-time great relief pitcher. And I don't think he'll necessarily make it into Cooperstown. It's really tough for relief pitchers to do it. But what worries me, and you're more bullish on the team than I am, is what do you do if you have the all-time great closer having the all-time great season on the awful team? Because there's not much more useless things in baseball than the elite closer closing out wins for the 75-win club.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? Like, it's just...
Sure.
He's great, and they need him to be great, but damn, man, it's just I don't know. We've been talking a lot about how it could get awkward with Baez or Rizzo or Bryant around the trade deadline, and throw Craig Kimbrell right into that mix if he's that good, but the team itself isn't.
Top of the list, because that is a very specific item that a ton of teams will need, will be looking for, and if he's at this level, the value will be absolutely outrageous. It'll be a high number, even prorated, for a relief pitcher, so not everybody's going to even be able to be in on it, but it depends what happens with capacities as the season moves forward and income for some of these organizations as the season moves forward. Yeah, but when are they going to decide they're a 75-win team? If they ever decide that, you know, I think this division is going to be up and in question the entire year. I mean, the Reds are the story of the division right now, and they lead as of yesterday. They led MLB in run differential as of yesterday. The Reds, Nick Castellanos is just outrageous. Jonathan India, their young kid, is outrageous. So like they've got a lot of buzz about them right now, but are they going to hang around? Are they going to hang on? Tyler Mahle is their best pitcher. So I don't know. I think this division will be right there. The Cubs are going to have a long way until they decide that. But yes, in terms of those conversations, for sure, Kimbrell will jump to the head of that list. It's exciting to get to watch him be this guy, though. I wasn't sure if he was ever going to be this guy again. Wasn't sure if he was ever going to be this guy when he was here, because he wasn't this guy at the end of his Red Sox run. You know, like the last year in Boston, they fell out of love, fell out of some trust. I mean, they used him a ton in that playoff run. But,
exactly.
But remember, that was the year that they used all those starters as super starters, as their swing day relievers. Nate Eovaldi going several innings out of the pen. Chris Sale going out of the pen. Rick Porcello going out of the pen. So it's been a long time since Kimbrell has looked like the guy he looks like right now.
And you know, I don't even necessarily want to put the cart before the horse and only talk trade deadline stuff, man, because it could go the other way. It could be that if you're right and the rotation, which so far has been good, remains sneaky decent, and Hendricks and Davies and Arrieta anchor a formidable starting rotation in a weak division with a lights-out closer so they don't blow a lot of games where they lead, all you'll need is a couple of dudes to get hot, and all of a sudden the Cubs, instead of being a 75-win team, be an 85-win team and be in the driver's seat the whole way, and they'll just ride it out. And they'll be maybe a buyer at the deadline, or worst case, they'll stand pat, and they'll get some comp picks for the guys that they don't re-sign, and they'll just try to make a run at it and rely on the variance and the randomness of October baseball in a matchup against the Padres or the Dodgers. Like, that's definitely possible that it goes that way, and that he's the guy who we look back and say, you know who was the key to the 2021 Cubs playoff push? That Craig Kimbrell had 36 saves in 37 opportunities and was just lights out with a 40% strikeout rate. Like, maybe he'll be the most important player on this team this year. That's definitely possible.
Yeah, I mean, it feels pretty important right now, doesn't it? Like, for them to know that they've got that guy, and for Ross to know, and to be able to call his name yesterday for five outs, something he had never done before in the regular season, the day after he'd pitched an inning in the extra inning loss the day before, and still they called on him for a five out save. That's some serious trust and belief, and incredibly well rewarded by Kimbrell right now. I wonder if he will make the Hall of Fame. It's going to take a lot more. It's going to take a lot more years. He was the youngest guy to ever get to 300 saves.
Yesterday was 350, right?
Right. But yesterday was 350. He was so good and so dominant consistently right away. It's interesting to hear him talk about it, say that he's been hearing that talk his whole career. He's been hearing Hall of Fame possibilities his whole career, which is crazy to think about because he's not even that old, but he was so good, so fast, and so steadily until the decay in Boston and then the slow bounce back the last year and a half or so here, that you don't think of him as being old enough to have, I don't know, have heard that for a long time. But
well,
he says
he has. So he's 32.
Yeah.
He is a 7-time All-Star, a World Series champion, a Rookie of the Year, and his strikeout percentage, right, his strikeout rate is second to Aroldis Chapman.
Correct.
He's at second, like 40% or something like that?
K's per nine is where I saw it. So his K's per nine, I think, was 14.7, and Aroldis is 14.9, something like that. Kimbrel was the all-time leader in that until the end of last year when Chapman passed him. But, yeah, it's Chapman and Kimbrel all-time. And it's interesting because Aroldis has similar inning and game totals to Kimbrel. It's a pretty similar size of body of work to this point. But 350
led baseball in saves 4 times and has 5 top 9 Cy Young Award finishes to go with the 7 All-Star game appearances. Mm. So what do you think you would need? Is it 450? You know, is it another World Series? Like, to, cuz I mean, he's not going to approach Trevor Hoffman or Mariano Rivera. He doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to be pitching and dominating and closing games for another 8 years to really compile those numbers. So, like, what's the thing that he's going to need to put him on the positive side of the ledger for the Hall of Fame? Because right now I'd be a no.
Continued dominance and some volume. Billy Wagner has 422 career saves, and he has a very good Ks per nine. Not as good as Kimbrel, but very good. And Billy Wagner this past year got 46% of the vote, which is very, very high compared to where he started. I think he started at around 9 or 10%.
Does Billy Wagner have a performance-enhancing drug, like, allegation against him? No?
Nope.
Okay.
No. There's no stink on that for Billy Wagner. So,
okay.
I mean, a lot of people think he ought to get in at 422 career saves. But Wagner doesn't have a World Series, right? I mean, Brad Lidge was their guy when they went in 2005. Wagner with the Mets. No, I think Wagner doesn't have any World Series titles. I'm not sure where he is on All-Star games and top 10 Cy Young finishes, which are interesting things to look at. But again, his Ks per nine is not close to Kimbrel. And this is, you know, guys who just go out there and just strike out everybody. There's value and there's impressiveness, especially to this generation of voters. By the way, among the top 50 at strikeouts per nine, the only relievers with more saves than Craig Kimbrel are Billy Wagner and Francisco Rodriguez, K-Rod. That's it. Hmm. Everybody else in the top 50 of strikeouts per nine among relievers have fewer saves than Kimbrel. So he's in pretty rarefied air in terms of being this dominant for this long and compiling the saves as well.
It's funny because the arrow was trending down on him.
For sure.
This conversation felt ridiculous middle of last year, right? I mean, his September last year was awesome. And it left a lot of us being like, huh, maybe? Okay, cool. But then the season was such a negative that, like, he was looked at kind of as a question mark with the whole thing. Like, there wasn't a lot of conversation or talk around Craig Kimbrel because so much of the offseason was about Bryant and Baez and then Rizzo, and then he had a bad spring.
At first.
But that's not abnormal for him because of the ramp up and dead arm at that time of year and all of the stuff that we've talked about. So, like, this, it's not out of nowhere because of his pedigree. It would be ridiculous to say that a guy with 350 saves having a great first week and a half of the season is out of nowhere, right? That's absurd. But in the context of the discussion around this team, I do feel like this is kind of like, huh, Craig Kimbrel. Cool. Kind of surprising. Didn't see that one coming. And you're right. Like, hopefully he's pitching on meaningful games and the Cubs are winning and they're a good team into September and October. But if not, there's a good chance you'd get more for him at the deadline than you would Chris Bryant.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Just because of how this game goes now.
How it works now, I think in terms of prospect quality, there is, yeah, I think you look at a small sample of what is most valuable in a pennant push and a playoff run. Oh, my God. I mean, whichever team out there, we'll see how Kenley Jansen looks by the time July comes along. We'll see what Alex Colome looks like by the time July comes along for Minnesota. You know, I mean, yeah, you betcha there's gonna be lots of interest. You know, Kimbrel was great in September. Had 13 strikeouts and 8 scoreless appearances in September and no walks. He was this guy last September. But then you're right, real bad beginning to the spring and then ramped it up and now got here. There wasn't a lot of conversation about him because we were all talking about Darvish and talking about the awkward offseason and just the weirdness of everything and what the overall direction was. But here we are with Kimbrel being this good, and he'll be a big, big factor in conversation for sure.
The other just variable that we should mention is they have to decide if they're going to be a contender next year too, because they got a team option. He's not a free agent like Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo.
What's interesting, they have a team option, you're right, for $16 million. It's also a vesting option. Like, and I don't know the answer to this, and we got to figure it out. Like, that contract will vest automatically for 2022 if he finishes 55 games in 2021, which is possible. It's high, but it's possible.
He's appeared in a league-leading 4 so far.
And if he finishes 110 games over last year and this year, obviously last year with the shortened season, I assume that all those vesting options prorated last year. I should know the answer to that, but I don't. You know what I mean? Like, so did he even...
Is he even in contention for the 2-year rolling average, or does it have to be this year? I don't know the answer.
And it's not an average; it's a total of 110. So obviously,
or 55 this year,
right? Okay. No, it's both. It's both. It's doubtful that this will vest. I'm sure when they signed it, they're like, oh, this isn't going to vest, because it's 110 finished across 2020 and 2021, and 55 games finished in 2021. So it's whatever, 2.7, of that 110. So one game was 2.7.
He finished 11 games last year.
He finished only 11 games last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, if it's 11
so
times 2.7. That part's not happening.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Well,
yeah, so it's
so
not
anyway.
Going to vest. Not going to vest. You're right.
Yeah, but you want to know how you can... If you are of the mindset of how do the Cubs rebuild the fastest because this team this year isn't going anywhere, Craig Kimbrel being dominant on a bad team, and then you trade him. That is the quickest path to restocking the farm system and young players and acquiring a bunch of dudes, because if he's awesome, it's among the most valuable commodities in the sport. Spiegs, coming up, I have no idea the context of this, genuinely. But I saw a poll question. I was involved in it. I'm not thrilled with the results of the poll question, to be honest with you. Tanny has some of the context. We will play it for you next on The Score.
Well, I think it's our own. I mean, if we want to get on Netflix, there has to be some form of murder, right? I mean,
where is Dan today?
There has to be some form of murder.
He is not well. He is not well. Dr. Kimbrel is not well, nor is Dan Bernstein. He has had his second shot.
The man cannot do a show without breaking into any line or any impression from The Fugitive, which I respect. But he's like a jukebox that plays 4 songs. Our guy Moby Ditka, Mark Grody, filling in for the vaccinated Dan Bernstein today with Layla Rahimi. By the way, Shane is off because he's attending a wedding. Tanny is here. They both got vaccinated yesterday, and they're both here. Dan preemptively took the day off, anticipating COVID symptoms.
Hey, which... the virus affects everyone differently, as does the vaccine, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, fear and anxiety apparently affects everybody differently as well.
And I hope he's fine. I'm sure he is fine. I haven't checked on him. I know my wife's company does the same thing. They recommend that you schedule a paid off day for the day after you get the second shot. But yeah, he was just like very I was like, man, you might be fine and able to work. But no, he preemptively took it off.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the Baseball guys, pitchers are trying to schedule the vaccine for the day after they pitch. Gio Urshela just went on the COVID list for the Yankees because he was feeling some mild side effects from the vaccine. So
yeah,
hosting a red hot radio show makes your arm sore
100% of the time. Yeah. They're pitchers. Dan's a talk show host.
That is what they do.
Yeah, like, I get it. Like, oh, man, I pitched today. Now I'll get it because I don't pitch for a while and I don't want my arm to be sore.
Get in the other arm then. Come on, get out there and pitch. Come on, yeah, take the ball.
Dan,
you think Lance Lynn would care about that?
No. Lance Lynn got vaccinated in the top of the sixth last night. All right?
Forget it, he's rolling.
That's Lance Lynn. Thaddeus Young said he got vaccinated in his right arm because he's a lefty. He knew what he was doing.
Smart.
How about Thaddeus?
You know, it's been too long. That's the worst part about Bulls talk waning a little bit is not hearing Farley quite as much.
That is the worst part. So I was not listening today. Had a fairly busy morning, and I was a little bit behind on prep. And so this afternoon, I get on Twitter, and I'm linked in a series of tweets.
Oh boy!
It was a weird day. From the Bernstein and Rahimi show, and our good friend, our old producer from the Spiegel and Parkin show, still doing Bernstein and Rahimi, longtime score guy Jay Zawoski, says that the answer to this question is Danny Parkins, because Parkins is always full Parkins, and that can rub some people the wrong way. So if he says the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong person, R.I.P. in peace. That's me. I'm like, what the hell is he doing? And then the poll question was, Mark Grody asks, which score host is most likely to be murdered? And the four answers are Mully, who gets 3% of the vote. Hmm. Mark Grody, who gets 2% of the vote.
Okay.
Me and Bernsey, who account for 95% of the combined vote. Now, Dan takes up 65% of this, but Dan's been working at this station longer than anybody and yelled at a third of our audience over the collective years. Pound for pound, me being the most likely to be murdered in a poll with Dan Bernstein and pulling a third of the vote, and Jay saying it was definitively me, it was a weird way to start my day on the internet. Let me tell you something.
The whole thing makes me uncomfortable. It really does. The entire exercise. I saw the poll question. I saw the tweet. I agree with what Jay is saying because I think just because I think Bernsey has been around long enough that people have maybe caught on to the soft side that's under there. I don't know, and they don't know it yet. With you,
yeah, it's like Stockholm syndrome. Like the listeners, they're comfortable with Dan over many, many years, so they couldn't bring themselves to do it.
Right, they need him around to torment them because they're just used to it.
But he still pulled 65% of the vote. Yeah. I was a little concerned that 30% of the audience said that I am most likely to be murdered.
Oh, God.
He was murdered and then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
Let's really do this. Present or past, who is most likely to get murdered at the score?
What?
Well, you said it, right? Dan's out today?
Yeah, Dan's out. Yeah, we said me, possibly.
Oh, no one would kill you.
Not you.
No.
You're probably right. Grody's kind of suspicious.
Yeah, see, Layla's on to me.
He may have done the crime, but he's not the guy that would actually be murdered. Nobody really wants to get to Mark.
No, exactly. I did kill my wife. It wasn't me.
Who would actually be murdered at the score? This sounds like a poll of some sort.
Really?
Put it up,
this sounds
Jay.
Painful. Put it up, Jay.
Zawoski, put it up there. Most likely to be murdered at the score.
This is a dark place that you've taken this show, and we haven't even started yet.
I'm troubled.
How did I make it to the list?
Just by being you. Just by being you and unapologetically yourself. And I'm sorry that you have. When I was 18 years old, I saw the movie Talk Radio, directed by Oliver Stone with Eric Bogosian. I think it was based on a one-man play that Eric Bogosian did. And it was real. It really got to me because Bogosian was, whew, see, is he good? And the whole thing is good. And then, you know, he's a talk show host and he's very provocative. And in the end, well, I don't, spoiler alert. Can you spoil
No. Danny's got to see that movie. That's a movie that I, you know, I was put on by Mac. Mac recommended it and I saw it and I enjoyed it. So Danny, you know, I think most people know the ending, but Danny, you haven't seen it yet.
And it speaks, and I talked about it earlier. Go ahead. There's no spoiler alert on a movie that old. You can go ahead.
You sure? It's a good watch. If you'd rather not have talk radio spoiled for you, turn the radio down for 10 seconds. At the end, he walks out of the studio and some fan steps up and says, "You're dead, effa," and shoots him and kills him. And he's dead. And I have never gotten that image, that line, the face of that fan out of my head. Completely unable to get that out of my head. So when this comes up, all I'm picturing is that parking lot with Bogosian walking a smoke and getting launched. And I don't want that to happen, especially to Bernsey. Or you. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Dance kids are grown. It's just not. Here's the thing. Tanny told me during the break when I was like, we have to discuss this poll question. He said, okay, I got a cut that will come out that'll set it up, and then I have another piece of audio from this thing in segment. And I was like, okay, because I want to know Dan being out. So why is Dan not here? Oh, he was murdered. Okay, I could see that. And then Mully is involved in the conversation. And Grody's the one who brought it up. And Haw, he was just dealing with like a baseline of discomfort the entire time, you could tell. And they're not going to put Layla in there.
It's me and David sharing that baseline of discomfort here at the station.
So what did I do? I don't know. It was some real friendly fire for me to be the fourth person lumped into that poll question, and then to pull a robust 30% of the vote had me just reevaluating a lot of things that I've been doing with my life.
Look, man, part of being young FOTS. You're not quite FOTS, but you're on your way sooner than later. And, you know, would you be more upset if you weren't on the list at all? Like, really, what would bother you more?
Yes.
Absolutely, right? The answer is yes.
And if we held a gun to his head, which is a terrible reference
fantasy.
To make
fantasy. Oh, yeah.
conversation. Is he more upset about being in the poll or the fact that he finished 35 points behind Bernstein in the poll? What's he more upset about?
I mean, listen, I enjoy the attention. I admit it in many walks of life. But when the poll question is most likely to be murdered, I am a little jealous of Mully's 3%. Okay, so, and by the way, what an accomplishment from Mully. Like, Grody, I get it. He's the Bears reporter. He was the Cubs reporter. Like, he's likable. He does the impressions. He's the funny guy. Mully has done, a decade of morning drive on this radio station?
More.
And he pulls 3%? Is that a testament to Mully's likability or Dan and I's hateability? I don't know the answer to that.
The answer is yes on that.
Jesus. I thought I was likable. I like me. I think more of you should like me.
I like you too. I like you too, Danny. And you know who really likes you? It's Rick Hahn. You can tell that it's true.
You know, Danny, I'm not that interested.
Rick Hahn is on Twitter a lot. Like, he has burner accounts. Do you think he just kept voting for me? Do you think that's why I got 30%?
Probably an unsatisfying answer, but honestly, Danny, that's as candid as I can be about the thing.
All right, well, now I don't feel as bad. It was just Rick Hahn voting for me 600 times.
And Kevin Durant. Those are the only people on Twitter. It's Rick Hahn with burner accounts and Kevin Durant lighting up your DMs.
What a weird newer type of situation with a poll question.
I don't know how I missed this story, by the way. Were you aware of the ketchup shortage that has gripped the United States, according to the headlines that I'm reading today? And would you agree that a ketchup shortage can ever grip any country, let alone the United States?
This one? Yeah, I mean, what do you mean, let alone the United States? We're a country of fats. If it's going to grip any country, it's going to be us. We will put ketchup on anything. Pat Mahomes puts it on his steak. We don't have the ability to get Pat Mahomes today because Shane Reardon is out.
Tough
Unless
day.
Herb Lawrence, do you have a line to Pat Mahomes by any chance?
Probably not.
I don't.
Okay, so sad. But the first headline I saw was that Canada was in the clear. That Heinz had told Canada they were in the clear and did not have to worry about the ketchup shortage, which has gripped the United States. And then I'm reading the story, and you know where this, it's the packets, the ketchup packets, because of COVID, everybody pivoted to takeout. That all of a sudden the fast food restaurants were competing with regular restaurants to make sure they had enough condiments. And Heinz has stepped up, Danny. Heinz has stepped up and said that they're going to ramp up production, a 25% increase in production, so they can make a new total number of ketchup packets in a year. And that's my question to you. I'd like you to guess the new number of ketchup packets that Heinz is going to produce in order to meet demand. How many ketchup packets?
For America or the world?
America. In 1 year.
All right.
Ketchup. 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 Ketchup.
Oh, it's the best. God love you, Chris Tannehill. It's Mr. Burns standing in the aisle, confused. He never shops for himself, and that's when we learn why.
25 million.
12 billion. Ketchup packets.
No.
Hi, this is in USA Today. Or sorry, this one's on CNN. CNN.com/business. Just days ago, Heinz announced a 25% increase in production, totaling 12 billion ketchup packets a year.
Ketchup.
12 billion. How does that make,
wait a minute. That's not possible.
Dude.
For America only?
There's no way to know.
Since I'm sitting in same seat, should I have a hot food take right now?
Yes, a hot ketchup take is welcome.
If your food that you're getting from a restaurant needs ketchup, you need to leave that restaurant immediately and get a butcher of your own.
Whoa, Shane, you're so polarizing.
Ketchup is garbage.
Oh, man.
Whoa. Hey,
wow. Whoa. Shane, he's getting shangry over there. That is too much ketchup. 12 billion.
12 billion, man.
Are we at like 400 million now? 350 million? How many people are in America?
Not 12 billion. That's a lot.
No.
We use a lot of ketchup, apparently.
Okay. That's a lot of ketchup.
And a lot of that is just the extra ketchup that gets thrown in, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
A lot of that ketchup's wasted, sure, but just the production of it. 12 billion.
Yeah. And I think 1 billion of those are for Pat Mahomes alone, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's a big fan. Ketchup on my steak.
I saw the story and I knew I had to get to it just for the 12 billion ketchup packets, just because I knew that would shock you. This is the kind of content that I like to bring. 5 non-fastballs for Lance Lynn out of 210 pitches in his first 2 starts, and 12 billion ketchup packets a year, the new total that Heinz is churning out as the ketchup shortage grips the United States.
You just ask me questions for me to guess and give wildly wrong answers to. That's content, your thing.
Baby.
Yeah, yeah, it is content. I'll give you that. Twitch him and text him. We'll answer some questions next on The Score.
Station, it's time for one last thing.
That is the $1.5 billion question.
I just want to ask you one question.
That's a general answer to a general question.
Ask any question.
I just want to ask you.
For anyone on the
one
show.
Question.
You know, there's times where I don't want to answer your guys' dumb questions.
I just want to ask you one question.
What do you think about verb?
It's the dumbest question you could ask.
What?
Jesus.
I just want to ask you one question.
I respect the question and I totally get why you're asking it, but
I just want to ask you one question.
One of the biggest questions that people will ask in these type of situations.
I just want to ask you one question.
One last thing with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
I should mention also golf coverage on The Score presented by Sam Adams Wicked Hazy IPA. Going to be a good Masters weekend. this weekend. Do you care, Speaks? Will you watch? That's my first question to you. You can text them. You can Twitch them, by the way, your questions.
It depends on it, – it's not priority. No, there's too much good baseball. Too much good baseball going on for me to hop in. I'm more interested in the results of Tiger's black box testing than I am in the Masters. I don't know what that says about me. Probably nothing
says
good.
That you love scandal and not sport at the highest Whoa. Level.
Well, yeah. You saw it was reported how fast he was going, right?
Yes.
I believe it was 83.
83! That's exactly right. And he didn't move the steering wheel, Tanny. I think that's not a good sign.
It's not, but they closed the police investigation. So he's going to be fine legally and all that way. But yeah, that is a... That's a tough story. Someone wants to know, Parkins, have you ever been in a fist fight? I've been punched, but not really in a back and forth fight situation. I like to say that I'm 0 for my life in physical confrontations. Sometimes I will talk my way into something that could amount to that, but I'm not really interested in fighting with people. I don't know if you know this about me, but 6'1", 150, 5 back surgeries. Not really looking to throw down, Speaks. What
Understood.
About you? You ever been in a fist fight?
Not really. No. Been punched.
Yeah, we're the same.
Then I punched back. I did punch back. But yeah, no, not really. This texter wants to know, do you guys talk to Mac very often? Just scheduled golf, as a matter of fact. The three of us. Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins, Matt Spiegel. Scheduled a golf event for a morning to be determined. Very soon.
Yeah, we're going sometime in May, I believe, on a Cubs Day game. The three of us are going to go out there and golf. Yeah, I text with them more often, but we talked on the phone 2 weeks ago, I think, maybe three at this point. So yeah, we stay in touch. He's doing well.
He texted me this morning to just let me know that the actor who played Frankie Carbone in Goodfellas was also in Godfather 2.
Oh, I was on that text too. I didn't respond to that.
Did he send us to it separately? Each of us separately?
No, you're
on
a
thread.
It.
We're on a thread.
We're on a thread.
Okay,
yeah,
I gotta get back to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh God, we're jerks. Yeah, I was driving when I got that.
It made
text.
Me smile though. Yeah, I was in the middle of something. Plus I was doing, not busy.
Yeah. Right. I'll get back to you if I'm not doing something.
Not that busy, man.
Oh God. Any plans for the weekend, Speaks?
Hit and run on Sunday morning. Travis Sawchick, who is one of the co-authors of The MVP Machine, among other things, going to talk some baseball with me at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Other than that, watch a whole crap ton of baseball and get ready to come back and do a Rock'em Sock'em week of radio on Monday.
Steph is... out of town for like a 48-hour girls' weekend with just her like one best friend from college. They're both vaccinated, so they're meeting in Indy. So single dad life.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a great summer.
Yeah. Just me and the child.
Wow.
48 hours, baby.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. It'll be
good.
Some
bonding time. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Teach him how to hold that phone so you can tweet, you know?
Oh, yeah. Have some brews, watch the Masters. Be great. Just plop in front of the screen. That's what you're supposed to do with kids, right?
Drinks are on you, Owen.
That's right.
Literally. Yes. Literally.
Set him up for some legal sports betting accounts so he can get all of the free bonuses. It'll be great. Just roll that 529 right in to a BetRivers account. That'd be fine, right? Steph won't have a problem with that. Best of the score, then Bulls and Hawks. Thank you to Herb Lawrence for sitting in for Shane Reardon. Our guests today were Steve Stone and Boog Shambi. Boog Shambi was our other guest on today's program. Thank you to Brian Gertz running the Twitch chat. We appreciate everyone out there on Twitch. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Best of the score, then Bulls basketball coming up. He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Well, it's been quite a week,
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.